and welcome to Real Career Talk, a monthly podcast series brought to you by the network BICP, where we have real career-based conversations with internal AT&T and extraordinary leaders in a variety of fields who share their career stories and give some real critical and holistic career advice. I am your host, Andrea Lim. And for this episode, we are going to talk about secrets to success. And I am beyond honored and thrilled to have with me today, Dee Poku Spalding, who is an entrepreneur, women's advocate, and founder and CEO of the We Suite, which is a private membership community and peer learning platform for extraordinary women leaders such as herself, creators and innovators. It has a mission to redefine the way women achieve success for themselves and for their companies by providing the community and tools for them to excel at their highest levels. The We Suite also works with companies to accelerate growth by helping them attract, retain, and grow diverse talent. She co-founded the We Network, which was a pioneering early women's conference in response to the lack of diversity at traditional business forums. And this was really sort of the platform to create the We Suite, that membership community. And it was also while she was creating an initiative, the Black Women Rise, which works to accelerate the ability of leading Black female founders to raise capital, growth, scale up, and create pathways for the women behind them, which is phenomenal that they're always thinking of ways of pulling it forward. She has a background in marketing, has had many roles in places like Paramount Pictures, Focus Features. She's worked on a number of award-winning films in terms of marketing them, such as other brands she's worked with, such as Coca-Cola, Stella Artois, and London Fashion Week. She's received a lot of industry recognition, such as Marie Claire's magazine's naming Dee one of 50 women changing the world, a CUP Catalyst change maker, a 2021 culture creator, and a recipient of a Gold Anthem Award from the Webbies. Trust me, I am totally paraphrasing this woman's high accomplishments and achievements. She's a frequent speaker on women's workplace advancement and culture and community building. She serves on boards like the BAFTA Diversity and Inclusion Steering Group and is on the board of directors for the Brooklyn Bridge Conservatory. Again, paraphrasing. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in math and currently lives in Brooklyn with her husband and son. Dee, I am thrilled again for you to be on this show with me today. Thank you so much for taking time to be with me today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
So, as I mentioned, our theme for this episode is secrets to success. And you are an incredibly accomplished woman. But I like starting off with like a get to know you kind of a question. So we can Google you. Absolutely. You have tons of stuff that people can find out about you. But I want to know, tell me something that we won't find about you if we Google you. Like, give us one quick little secret that, you know, only a few people know. Maybe it's a nickname or a guilty pleasure. Tell me one secret.
Okay, a good secret is that growing up, I went to school at a convent.
Wow.
There you go. Many people know that.
Yes, that is phenomenal. Thank you so much. Well, yes. You know, I definitely can only imagine what that type of start, you know, what that did to create the woman that you are. And it's a nice segue into the conversation about success, because I think a lot of times people confuse success with accomplishments, right? And there is a true difference. Like, you can have degrees, you can have job titles, you can have high salaries, you know, all of these things are great accomplishments, but they don't necessarily equate to career success. So first off the bat, just to make sure for our audience that will be listening to this, let's define what we mean by success. I would love for you to give me your definition of success so that, you know, those that get it confused will understand exactly what you mean by it.
I mean, I definitely define success differently for myself. And I would say that that definition has evolved over the years. And so, you know, when I was younger and aspirational and sort of thinking about what could be, success was definitely just about like having material thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was sort of being, you know, having the right sort of handbags and clothes and having a corner office and like just sort of having the things that to me sort of signified success visually.
Sure.
So I wanted to look and act and have an environment that to, you know, epitomize a successful person. So it was very, it was a very sort of shallow definition of success. I think that, you know, once you're in the workplace for a long time, you start to really understand what success and I guess ultimately power really means and what that looks like. And so for me, it's much more about autonomy. And success is really being, you know, in a place and position in your life where you can make decisions for yourself. And, you know, where you have sort of true control and autonomy over who you work with, where you work, how you do it, how it's performed, what the results are. That to me is true success.
Yes. Oh my God. I love that definition because so very few people actually identify, you know, what success means to them. And I agree with you. More of us think of it in that terms of that collection kind of mentality. And so that is absolutely phenomenal. I define it as this sort of combination of doing something you really love. And that has a way of creating that sort of financial stability windfall so that you can collect those wonderful things that you like. Right. And it's when you take charge of your life, as you said, that autonomy, that power over your decisions and where you go, it really does align with your purpose and your passion and your principles. And it sort of just carves out your career choice. So share with us, if you will, if you know, what was sort of that defining moment or that set of circumstances that put you on your career trajectory, like help you really figure out your purpose?
Interesting. I mean, I would say there have been a couple of defining moments in my career. One was very, very early on. So I studied math at university and was very much sort of, you know, working my way along the path that my parents had really, you know, set out for me. And then I took a left turn and decided to walk into this very cool sort of creative agency one day and ask for a job. Like I already had a job, you know, like I was like graduating college,
yeah.
I had this job lined up, you know, working for a bank. But I just impulsively decided to walk into this sort of agency and because it just felt so interesting and creative and exciting. And they said, you know, we don't have any jobs, but we have some internships. And this was at the beginning of the summer. And so I, you know, it was like had just graduated. And so I decided rather than like take the summer off as everybody else was, I decided to take the internship. Because I felt like it was just a great opportunity. And so I took it and I actually, that internship turned into a job. So I ended up getting the banking role and just kind of taking this other direction. And so that really set me on a path, on a different path that was, that was more creative than I had originally planned. So that was a big turning point. And I would say the second one was really moving to America.
Okay.
So maybe you can tell
from I'm Ghana.
From England.
England. Okay. At the time. Okay.
Yes. I grew up in England.
Okay.
I lived in Ghana for a short amount of time at the age of seven, but I mostly grew up in England. And so, yeah, just kind of making that decision to really upend my life and leave my friends and family and, you know, move to America, was a, was a big decision and really sort of changed the course of my life. And that's really, you know, how I became an entrepreneur. Like, I don't think I ever would have taken that entrepreneurial path if I hadn't moved to America.
Yeah. Wow. Along the way, you no doubt met a lot of people who influenced you in one form or another. Sounds like your parents initially were some of your strongest role models. So give me some ideas of some of your role models, what they meant to you, and how did they actually help influence your career path?
Yeah, I mean, my parents definitely had a huge influence on my career. I was such an obedient child. I was such a good girl. And obviously, you know, they did right by me. They, as Ghanaian immigrants, you know, experienced a lot of sort of prejudice and condescension and all sorts. And so they, you know, they just really wanted me to have the grounding, you know, they wanted me to be anchored. And so they were very focused on my education and on me sort of following a particular path. And I, you know, I completely understand where that comes from. Ultimately, I wanted something else, but I feel that, you know, it gave me sort of discipline. And that's really important. I would say growing up in England, I didn't really have many role models. You know, there weren't that many, there weren't sort of many women in positions of power who were visible to me or who I related to. You know, like, I grew up in the Margaret Thatcher era, like, that was
often
And so, you know, I probably looked to America and like people like Oprah Winfrey, like, you know, we all consumed an incredible amount of American TV in England. And so I was really like looking to America for people, you know, I could sort of aspire to be. And I would say that ultimately, you know, when I look back on my life, though I wasn't thinking about it in those terms at the time, but it was really my peers who were role models. And I think that ultimately, you know, translated in what I do now, because I really believe in sort of peer mentorship and peer coaching and looking to the people around you, because you're really on this journey. You're at a similar place. And on this sort of journey together. So that those were like the people around me were ultimately the people, my guiding forces.
Yeah. Well, again, I shorten and condense your background and all the things that you have succeeded in. And to achieve your type of success, it definitely, your network, you find out that you're surrounded by a lot of people who have that sort of same similar mindset. And so oftentimes people say, are you really successful? And was that like just luck? Like you just happened to luck upon, you know, being in the right place at the right time, surrounded by the right people. So oftentimes, one, I would love to know when successful people hear, oh, you're just lucky. How do you feel about that? How much of it really is luck, and how much of it is it really just some smart moves that you did on your own because you identified what your purpose was?
Luck is created, right? So it's really important to understand that. Luck is all of the time, effort, thousands of hours that you put into building the life you want, building the relationships that are important, educating yourself, like all of those things over time turn into luck, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's more about, you know, doing the work to ensure that when that opportunity comes along, when you are in the right place at the right time, that you are ready to seize that opportunity. So no, I don't think that, I mean, obviously there are people who are born into an immense amount of sort of privilege and wealth, and like, that's a different thing. They are lucky. But I would say, you know, for the general population, that luck is a cumulative effect of all of the work that has preceded it. And so if you are not ready, aware, able, when opportunities come your way, then you cannot take advantage of that luck. And so it doesn't become lucky for you. So I really like to sort of impress on people and stress, you know, how important it is to really know yourself and to have a deep understanding of like who you are, where you're strong, where you need work, where you're trying to, you know, where you're going, like just to have a really sort of clear sense of who you are and where you're going, you know. Like that's how you create that luck for yourself. If you just sort of meander through life, taking what comes your way, I don't think that you can ever really realize your full potential. But if you are sort of intentional about how you live, about how you form relationships, how you follow up on relationships, how you build your career, you know, just how you take advantage of things, you know, that's how you achieve true success and encounter that luck.
Yeah, no, I could not agree with you more. You know, it's also very interesting because I feel like there are things that successful people all have in common. And even someone like myself who would look and say, wow, they sit in this bubble. What is it that they know that I don't know? And you kind of touched upon it because there are so few people who truly experience real career success, you know, and it's shocking. So if you had to give me three off the top of your head, three things you think really successful people have in common, what might those three things be?
They're very prepared. Mm-hmm. So they really do the work. They really do their homework. They really ensure that they are well-informed, that they walk into any situation with all of their ducks in a row, like they don't leave anything to chance, like they are focused and prepared. I would say that they build strong networks. So, you know, everything is about who you know and who knows you. Who pulls you into that room, who's advocating for you in those rooms, who's giving you opportunities. And you have to build that, like you have to build those networks. And it starts really early. And yeah. So, you know, when you're at college, when you're in your first jobs, like every relationship, every touch point is something that could be instrumental in your future. And so you should nurture, you know, all of those relationships as you go along. Maybe the third thing is that they are ambitious, like they want it, you know, like they want it. So they're just going after it with all that they have. You know, success doesn't come to people who aren't interested in being successful, you know. And I also think, you know, when you want something, like when you truly want it, like deep in your soul, like you communicate that, like you exude something that other people respond to and that helps really sort of guide and direct that, that desire for you, you know. And so, you know, like there was a phase when people were talked about The Secret or and all those things, you know, about like putting things out there. Ultimately, all it's about is like knowing what you want, being unafraid to communicate what you want so that, you know, when the people, and then having sort of built the relationships around you and been intentional and like worked on yourself, when those right opportunities present themselves to someone who, you know, who thinks you're the right thing person for it, you know, they will send it your way. But if no one knows what you want, you can't access it. Or if you can't even clearly articulate what it is you want, then how are you going to sort of go out and find it? So I would say like those are three.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It does take some people quite a long time, though, to sort of figure that out. And so give me a little bit of an idea of why you started that the We Suite, which is a phenomenal platform. I love that it's female based, obviously. But yes. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the We Suite. And when did you have that aha moment that I want to do this?
So I spent most of my career in the entertainment industry, working in the film movie business, which I loved. I love movies, and I did some really incredible things and worked with some amazing filmmakers. But it was also tough, you know. There weren't very many women in positions of power. There weren't very, very few women of color in positions of power, and it was also just this very cutthroat dynamic. So there wasn't really a sort of sense of sisterhood or camaraderie. I felt like, you know, it's like me, myself, and I, and you have to figure it out. And the thing is that, you know, as you're building your career, it's all about like making the right decisions, like the nuanced decisions, particularly I would say for Black women or for women of color. It's like you have to be like so thoughtful and so nuanced about every move you make, about everything you say, about how you present yourself, so many things. And there are women who have gone, you know, before you, who have been through, you know, who've been in a similar position and figured those things out. And so it's only really by like having access to that. Otherwise, we're all sort of making the same mistakes over and over. And so I really didn't feel like I had those, that sort of peer group around me or like that sort of access as I was like trying to, you know, make decisions about my career or come back from setbacks or whatever. I would say there was a turning point when I'd gone to this meeting. It was being run by another woman executive. And I just remember being really in awe of how she ran that meeting. Like she was just on her game. Like she was funny, she was articulate, she was, you know, strong, but also, you know, sort of inviting. Like she just kind of like sort of danced around like all of the sort of different kind of emotions and characteristics, and she was just phenomenal. But I knew as I watched her command the room that she had built that up over years and years of sort of failure and so like that was a cumulative effect of like everything she'd learned. And I just thought, wow, I'd like love to have access to her because she's figured it out. And like, she's everything that I want to be. Right. And so that was really where the sort of germ of the idea was sort of planted in my mind, was like, wouldn't it be great to have access to her and to all of her secrets? Yeah. And that sort of ultimately, you know, turned into the We Suite. There were kind of other, I guess, inciting incidents. I used to host dinners because I'm from the UK and we love a dinner party. So I would like host these women's dinners and I would see all this sort of magic happening. And they were just casual, you know, dinners I would throw. And so it was like a combination of what I was seeing happening in those dinners, you know, what had happened in my film career, place time, that became the We Suite, which is very much about creating a peer coaching community for women in leadership.
Mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. Because again, as you mentioned, and I know what I have personally observed, I don't see many women that look like me even today, you know, let alone that many women that are in those, you know, executive decision-making positions. And if you do, sometimes we are afraid to create our sisterhood where we could be stronger peers, where we can be stronger advocates, where we can be mentors, sponsors, which is really important. But I want to talk just a wee bit on the networking, because what you have created is a phenomenal platform. But for anyone who might be listening who is shy or an introvert, who may have a little bit of a hard time like reaching out, cold calling someone, if you will, to start building their network, or they're just starting out in their career, What advice would you give to someone who not sure? I understand the why, I don't know the how. Talk to me a little bit about that when it comes to networking.
Sure. So for someone who's starting out in their career, I actually think that's such an exciting place from which to start, because everyone wants to help someone who's coming up, right? Like that, we have that instinct in us to really kind of pull up, sort of younger people than the next generation. And so that's a really great time to reach out to people. It's a little bit harder, actually, the further along you get. Mm-hmm. So I would say, when you start your first job, for example, like that's such a great time to just reach out to people in the company. Just send like a nice, short, flattering note, like, I really admire you. And I'm just starting at the company and I would just love a few minutes of your time to just hear, you know, about your amazing career. Leave it there.
Yeah.
They'll respond. Right. And so, you know, do a lot of that and make sure you keep up. Like, don't just do that once. Like, mm-hmm. if you get in the room, keep that relationship up, like keep it going. Like, don't be annoying, but just every once in a while, maybe, you know, they wrote something that you liked, or like just sort of keep that relationship alive, and that will create that luck for you further down the line. But also, like, don't forget about the people around you. Like, I think so often when we want to build networks, like, we look ahead of us. Like, we look at the people we aspire to be and we want to sort of be in their orbit. Whereas I would say, you know, some of the most successful people I know, like people I started out with, where we were interns together or like juniors together and just figuring things out, and you know, they've all gone on to tremendous success. And so it's really about the relationships around you and just really kind of nurturing those and ensuring that you have that really strong peer network. Those are the people who ultimately are going to be your guiding force along the way. For people who are introverted, obviously it's hard. I think that it's really important just to try and access more intimate situations and gatherings rather than like going to a giant conference and trying to assert yourself. So really kind of look to build those one-on-one relationships and just have those be your building blocks. But also just like, just channel a little bit of courage every once in a while. It's hard for sure, but you know, it's a muscle you build. Like, it's not that, you know, I'm some big extrovert either. Like, I would say I struggle both. Like, because I'm a community builder, there's this assumption that I'm super extrovert and really outgoing. I mean, you know, actually what I would say is that I love people and that's really what I'm communicating, but I wouldn't say that I'm this incredibly confident, incredibly extrovert person. I just gravitate towards people and I like people. Yes. And I like being around people and I like hearing their stories and, you know, I like listening. And that's, you know, great for making friends, is, you know, people like to feel seen. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, everything else was just, you know, a muscle that I've continued to work. I used to get sort of terrified of situations like this, like any sort of public speaking environment really terrified me. I feel incredibly nervous. But you just sort of force yourself and you just inch closer and closer. And it's never like straightforward or a slam dunk, right. But it's just a muscle that you exercise and you get better and better.
Absolutely. So let me just say, this conversation, I can gobble you up, because I love that you're really sharing some tactical, like real actionable things that the listeners who will hear this content can actually do. So, and you have such a sizable network. And I really hope that those that see this, and I plan on sharing with the network, if you don't mind, the WeSuite link, because there could be a number of women who want to join as a member, which I think they would absolutely benefit from. But I do have, because we're coming up to the end, so this is probably just more of my own personal knowledge. Having heard about that phenomenal other festival, are you planning on doing another one? And if so, are you thinking about coming to Los Angeles? Because I want to go. I want to help you.
Oh my God, I loved the other festival. God, it was so much fun. It was so great to really combine music and film and books and, you know, and sort of learning and networking. And it was just like, it was so dynamic and interactive. It was a lot of work.
I know.
It was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot. So, you know, it felt like it was like half my year was spent, you know, raising sponsorship and then the other half executing, and there was like no space in between. Mm-hmm. And as a businesswoman, like the margins just were not great.
Yes.
But, you know, I was looking at the, you know, all the branding we did for that the other day, and it was like so cool. And so one day, you know, one day, I think it's needed. I think that it's, you know, what I'm seeing right now, kind of post-pandemic, is we're really rethinking how we gather, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely sort of a person who loves to gather people. And we're, you know, and so I love the idea of sort of bringing something back that was really kind of disrupting, you know, really the conference concept, and really creating something that was more visual and dynamic. And so it feels like the right place and time. So you never know. And LA, gosh, why not?
Well, hey, I will do anything, honestly, to help you, because I just thought it was such a phenomenal idea. I loved everything that I've seen from afar about it. And so I know that you probably have that toiling in the back of your mind. My last two questions, hopefully they're fun. One, what is next for you? What is next on Bees Like Horizon?
So I have this community for women in leadership. Every day I hear them sharing all these incredible insights, knowledge, referrals. Like, it's just this treasure trove of content. And I think about the next generation, especially women in middle management. It's like a really tricky place, right? To transcend into the C-suite. Like, that's, you know, and that's really where the pain points are. And I just, you know, my vision was always to build something that could support all women in their careers, you know, at different stages. So this almost, you know, very much feels like stage one. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the process of working on an education platform, where our members, where women in leadership can support women in middle management and help them like leapfrog into the C-suite. So we're working on that concept right now, that is very, very tactical. So that's what's next.
That's phenomenal and definitely needed, because as you stated, I think there is like this crazy convergence of generations that are all meeting together. They don't quite understand each other. They need to lead with empathy and listen more. There's just all these things. So, and if they're feeling stuck, you know, right in that middle, you may not know exactly how to get yourself out of it. You will need help. So I think that's a phenomenal idea. My last question, hopefully it's not too tricky for you, but since we're spilling the tea, I need to know, have you actually ever been on a Zoom call where the top half is professional, but the bottom half is in pajamas? Just tell me.
Always. Always. The most liberating thing ever. Like, it's sort of this like secretly naughty, subversive way, defiant way of doing business, right? Because you're basically saying like, okay, like I'm presenting this, but you don't even know what's going on. Like, I'm keeping a little bit of myself personal, and I like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Honestly, thank you so much, Dee. I have enjoyed meeting you. I love this conversation. I cannot thank you enough for dropping many jewels, which people are going to walk away with, myself included. So thank you so much for the time to talk with me about some secrets of success. And I really, really, really can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much for having me on, and congrats to you on, you know, spearheading such a great sort of topic and concept. So, you know, kudos to you.
Thank you. And to the network that is listening, and to anyone who consumes this content, I thank you for listening and watching, and I will catch you at the next Real Career Talk. Stay you and stay real.